from the UBO Business Services Studios. You're listening to KTXX-FM and HD1 BK, KTAE-AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock. Guests on the horn appear courtesy of the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina is located on Highway 360, just south of West Bank Drive. Chad and Kevin are brought to you by Coors Light. Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it!
With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports. The Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com.
Afternoon delight.
Never heard you say goodbye. Read your
How about hour number four on a Thursday? Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling's headed home for the evening, and Brad Kelmer's producing the show tomorrow. So we're not going to see Trey till Monday.
You're excited about this.
Have a good weekend, Trey. I'm intrigued is the word. I'm intrigued by Brad.
Like many things we do on this show, we've done it before and you don't remember.
No, I said he'd produced a couple. I just couldn't remember how many he'd produced. And
he's co-hosted, so you're
right. He's co-hosted many times.
For both of us being gone.
Yeah, he's done that. I just can't remember how many. It's a couple, maybe two or three, though. I'm looking forward to that. Also, always looking forward to Devin producing for us. He's in producing the 6 o'clock hour. Our man Colton's here today. I saw Max here today as well. A lot of great guys doing good work here at the station.
Colton had an interesting theory that maybe because the shoes were built for Paul George, who's a big guy, but Zion's he's a freak, and definitely in that regard. Would he be the second or third heaviest player in the NBA? Second heaviest?
Yeah,
thank you, Devin. And so
whatever it is.
Maybe that is that he just needs a different shoe.
And that
for a guy who moves like that with the weight on it.
It's a great point, and as soon as Colton said it, the light went off in my head, and it's going to go off in the marketing people's heads. Whether it's Nike or another company, now you use this to create his
your heavy section,
his first shoe that, and you just bill it as the most indestructible shoe you've ever made. You put it in commercials. You throw it off of buildings. You shoot it with guns. You do whatever you blow it up, and he still wears it.
I want the 280, maybe like 6'3", 280 guy at the Y. He's got the knee brace and is in his 30s. I want stuff of that. I want show me some Farley stuff, knocking down Robinson.
There you go.
Show me some big boys and how they can move around on the court, and the shoe will take it.
The first shoe will be called the Zion Tank.
The Zion Tank.
Make it indestructible, right? They'll use this. They'll figure out a way to use this to his advantage.
Devin, I know how much you love basketball. Man, you know your sports and you love your sports, and I like, especially with your age, I like where you come from, because I don't think your takes are age driven. I think they're just driven on what you want for the sport. Last night hurt you, didn't it?
Of course it did. I mean, we're looking at potentially the biggest prospect in basketball in years, mm-hmm. and all these people show up for this, what should have been, like I said earlier, a celebration of the sport, and it's kind of, we're turning this in the right direction, and then you see something like that happen, and it untangles that, or it pulls that knot out that we thought fixed the problem for a little while. So it was tough for me to watch in that aspect, because it seems like when he went down, the lights in that building just went off, and the whole energy of the place was just kind of deflated.
And this can always be a problem with this sport, even when, in my opinion, it's been at the heyday at the college or pro level. Not as much so, but if you're celebrating a sport and one guy goes down, you should still be able to celebrate the sport. But I think you're exactly right on how it played out.
And that's that's the state of basketball right now.
It's
unfortunate.
Yeah, that's it, man. That for it to be that important, and it shows you how young that team is. Because my first concern was, oh my God, they're so young. There's not like a junior and a senior to gather them all around and say, fellas, calm down, let's go play.
Let's not take the first shot we see from beyond the arc when we're not that good of a team, and we've got Billis telling us not to do it on TV.
Well, and Devin just gave me this stat right before we came on the air. He says that within the first 1 minute and 43 seconds of that game, 17 shots were taken.
Mm.
17.
Which is fine if it's LMU and UNLV and 14 go in.
Exactly. And it's like 10, 8, 12,
as
10.
As fans, like, we see that, we're like, you know, buckle your seatbelts.
Yeah, no, it certainly was not it was not that kind of game. That was crazy.
What else you take out of it? Anything else?
Yeah, there's a couple things. I think R.J. Barrett ultimately will be the guy. I know Zion's going to go number one. We know this. But I think R.J. Barrett ultimately will be the guy once he matures a little bit. Me and Chad kind of talked about this off air. There's a couple times last night I'd like to see him just grab the ball top of the key like he did and slow it down. Take a couple breaths. And like we talked about, I understand the shot clock in college is trying to speed up the game. But at the same time, some of the negative effects is happening on or is that that's happening because of it is guys aren't running through their offense. They're not getting good looks at the basket. They're taking ill-advised shots. My biggest takeaway last night, though, is that he'll probably be the best pro player that we saw on the court last night.
Interesting. Okay.
I
can see what you're talking about. There's questions about Zion, about his range, and you can develop that. Bunch of guys have gone into the NBA and developed that. And I like where he is as a player. I'm just not sure how he translates. You think he's going to translate pretty well, though?
Yeah, I think RJ will put on weight. I think that's going to be the
I was talking Zion, but I get you with RJ.
RJ will put on weight. It's a lot harder for Zion to develop an outside jump shot.
Okay.
If it's not natural.
Right.
Yeah.
Or to develop a really good one if it's not natural. Yeah. You're getting better, but how much better?
Carolina beats Duke, and obviously a lot of talk about that blown-out shoe and the craziness for Zion Williamson. Hopefully he's going to be all right. Day-to-day, grade one, they think it's an MCL sprain, but basically a grade one knee sprain. Hopefully, I wish this had happened like January 21st. That would have been better, give him a little more time. But hopefully, whether it's conference tournament time or who knows, day-to-day, it could be next week. He could be back in the lineup. We'll see if how quickly he's able to get back. And then with Texas basketball, the story that hit last hour, Kerwin Roach has been suspended for a violation of team rules. Multiple sources reporting that. 24/7 Sports, the first to report it. He will miss Saturday's game. Leading scorer, Kevin, obviously a senior leader on this team. But we said it earlier, this is disappointing on multiple levels. You lose that leadership. You're going to a place where the basketball team's not great, but they're going to hate you, and the crowds are going to show up at 11 because Texas is coming to town, upside-down Longhorns for everybody. And he won't be there.
Really? Yeah. I mean, the way Oklahoma's playing, and Dustin hit the nail on the head, they beat TCU, but they were on a bad losing streak, I think six in a row in league play. And you do feel like maybe they've given up on that team. But with Texas, if Texas or Oklahoma State come in, doesn't matter, right?
Correct.
If West Virginia's coming in here, probably not going to get Lloyd Noble's going to be pretty quiet. But this doesn't help, and I guess it's also not totally surprising. If you want to, let's take a little look back and think about what this year's been and how up and down it's been. And this kind of fits, doesn't it?
It kind of fits the down part.
It does.
Right? Yeah, a little lack of leadership. And we've seen some weird body language from him and some other players at times. Now some of these guys, got to step up. Tonight's guest on Longhorn Weekly with Shaka Smart is Dylan Osetkowski, who had a nice game in the last outing. Maybe he's one of those guys that, and he is one of those guys that needs to step up, be a vocal leader, bring guys together, calm them down in Norman on Saturday.
And Matt Coleman.
Absolutely.
Courtney Ramey, who can fill a lot of that. Mm-hmm. It's always hard to ask a freshman to do that, but that's the spot we're in. And then also, I'd like to see Febris do more.
I was just thinking Rainey Febris just became a different combo, didn't they? Because you watch the game and you wonder how much time does each one of those guys get. Now both of them must get more time, and they got to do something with it.
And Oklahoma has some size, so that's actually where maybe it's not the end of the world. That you've got some size, you may play some bigger lineups.
Yeah, and like I talked about, we had Johnny on, Bitter White Guy from Barking Carnival yesterday. I know that Oklahoma State was trying to stop the lob with Jackson Hayes. You got to get that kid more than three shots in a ball game, don't you?
Yeah, but also,
I know he's limited.
But
I know
he's right.
I know he's limited, but wow.
Right. I mean, but those shots are going to be lobs, and teams are trying to take that away.
I mean, there's no other. I'm not asking for like an 18-foot jumper, but some stuff.
I mean, if you want to know what the entire problem of this sport is that he's a lottery pick. Yeah. All potential. Talking about no jumper.
Little something in the lane, layup, little hook.
I see what you're saying. And there are probably some more creative ways to do that. But that also, you got to make sure the guards are playing the type of ball they need to be playing. And that's been hit or miss this year. Once they start doing it, they get back into their Steph and KD. And we saw guys trying to be Steph and KD last night. Not a lot of Steph and KDs.
No, I did not see a lot of Steph or KD. I never had that thought last night. Not one time.
Devin liked that. Well, look, a team went on the road, and I understand Zion's out. I get that. But still go on the road and beat the number one team in the country by 16, and you're 2 of 20 from beyond the arc?
That shouldn't happen.
No, no.
And you get 62 in the paint. You know I love the stat, but I got to mention
that's why they won.
When it's that stupid. No, but I'm saying, and the number one team allowed,
yeah, okay,
62 points in the paint.
Yeah,
he was that important. Mike Krzyzewski has to go to bed last night thinking, wait a minute, I had one guy who could keep people out of the lane. That's it.
Look, the skills there, obviously, they may not be as developed. You can get into AAU and the issues that they have there. But the biggest thing is, and Devin's talked about it, we've gotten this text 7 times from different people, so I'll just mention it because I think y'all are right. The mid-range games don't add up the way they used to. And so that's just little things that, you know, they're going to have to work through, but understand you have a problem, and then you can address the problem.
All right, so I do love when certain venues in all sports, but this is college basketball, have, like, names. And right now there's a game going on from the Barn in Minnesota. It's 12-6 Michigan, 13 minutes ago first half. Michigan's the number 7 team in the country. Kevin, I would like for
it's
you
the to, elevated court, right?
And I would like for you to describe to me the color of this court. I don't know that I've ever seen one that's exactly this color. What is that, like a gray sand? What is that?
Chemo white. Or white chemo.
Chemo white.
I don't know. It sand's a good way to put it.
Because the lanes are painted like they should be. The M's in the middle. The old Michigan, the Minnesota M.
All that's sharp.
But the wood, it's like this weird light gray color. I don't quite understand it.
It is.
Oh, I know you're trying to stand out, but that's what the M's for, right?
Yeah, no, it is.
That's how you do it.
I'm with you.
How do we tell them we're Minnesota? Well, that's what your logo's for. You don't need weird. And then also, I hate a basketball floor where it's hard to tell if I'm playing where the out of bounds lines are, like little thin lines, but everything's the same color.
Yeah, I can see that.
Make it easier for these guys to know where out of bounds is.
I just love the way a basketball court looks, like a baseball field.
Yeah, it's all.
Just keep the grass green. We're good.
Nice and clean, nice and good. But I like it to look like wood on my television.
That's what I'm saying. I just love the way a court looks.
Yeah, yeah, and it doesn't need to be messed with that much. They get a little fancy with the courts nowadays.
The garden.
Messing with, yeah.
Every time I saw that, I just thought, even the new garden, I'm just thinking, oh, man, that parquet.
It looks great. Always looked great. Yeah, I always loved that one as a kid. And it looked about as hot as I heard it was when we were kids.
Yeah.
It looked like it was 98 degrees in there all the time.
It was awful in there.
Yeah, that was good stuff. All right, a lot of basketball today with the Zion Williamson story. We also talked some football today with Tony Pauline of DraftAnalyst.com. Got some good thoughts on Longhorns. He's done all his film work on Longhorn players. He said Charles Omenihu, he's thinking like 3rd or 4th round for Charles. I'm interested to see what the combine does for Charles now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're going to have different, you know.
The combine and pro day.
You're going to have different takes. We told you the whole time that if he slid into that late first, that would just be awesome and a huge surprise. But I'm really hoping day two, and that's kind of what I'm thinking about. And day two will consist of second and third. Third round.
I think that's right.
That would be great. But yeah, I mean, he could definitely slide. The thing that hurts him the most is that it's such a deep defensive line draft. And I do agree with Tony. I don't think he's an elite edge rusher. I think that but as he said, there's a lot of want to. There's a lot of brains there, and you see him make plays. He got much better against the run this year, something he told us during the summer, that's got to be more of something that it's just mental. Mentally, he just wants to be able to stop the run, and it's got to be getting back to want to. But nothing is elite right now. But what is elite is the frame.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt.
And that he can get stronger and add to that.
The other thing he mentioned, and I know when guys watch film, I'm sure they go back and look at like what film they're watching, how it works order-wise. But if you watch Omenihu's film in chronological order, you do see that development. And I wonder if I'm a coach and look at him, all I could see is some incredible potential because he just keeps adding. We said it all season long. It just seemed like there's always something else going into his bucket, if you will. And if I'm an NFL team, I love the frame, and I love everything about what that frame can become. because he was showing it to you all last year.
And he showed the versatility, but I think he becomes a different prospect, at least his ceiling does, whenever you're, because I've said the whole time, I think he's a 4-3 bookend, that if he gets in that spot and you add some weight on, watch out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it could be a real value if you get him in the fourth there.
Could be really, really good. The other football story we mentioned today is the new Longhorn analyst. No, not the Larry Fedora story. The next Longhorn analyst, defensive side of the ball, former Houston defensive backs coach. He's been on Lovie Smith's staff in Illinois. He sent multiple defensive backs to the pros. Paul Williams is the next defensive analyst for Texas, and so we'll help Todd Orlando out, obviously. And then, Kevin, I'm still reading that the David Beatty thing's not over, that they're still looking into the David Beatty story.
Good.
And Kansas and David Beatty are trying to figure stuff out, but we could still hear that that guy becomes an analyst for Texas.
Yeah.
They're still
going
after it.
What do you always say?
Be Texas.
Be Texas.
List, you line them up.
There are some schools that if you said, hey, can we add $400K for analyst this year? Whoa. Hold on.
Easy.
Hold on.
We can't add 400.
No, we can't.
Much less the K.
Right. Yeah. Can we pay him in gift card? No. Okay. Texas can. They're in that spot. Take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. And you got an AD that knows it.
Finally, yeah.
Right? Got an AD that understands it, and he understands what needs to happen.
No one has shot at the loss, by the way.
He is absolutely right. No, that was a shot at Mr. Patterson. But yeah, no, he's the guy that he asked Tom Herman, what do you need? Tom Herman says, I think we need this. And Chris Del Conte says, okie doke. Here we go.
And you got to trust your coach that he's just not going to ask for something that they don't need.
Right. And that is the art form, I think, to this analyst situation.
I felt like
too.
That was always the back and forth with Florida State and Jimbo.
Yeah, that's a good, interesting comparison.
And I would hear stories that both were right.
Yeah, and both sides just got tired of each other.
And got tired of each other.
Right? They got tired of hearing the, we need this, we need that, and he just eventually got tired of hearing, I don't know, Jimbo. I'm not sure if I can. It's like, okay, it's got to separate.
He was asking for some things he definitely needed, and they weren't given, but then he was asking for some things that he probably didn't need.
Probably, yeah. And then ultimately, that had to end. But in this case, you're right. You trust that Tom Herman brings in the people he needs, and I would love to hear, especially these big-time coaches, when they discuss the analysts, like which ones do they need? Because they could go out and get tons of guys get fired. All kinds of guys are fired every year, full staff sometimes. But then it's that we talked about it with Fedora on the offensive side, so I'm sure there's something about Williams on the defensive side. Now, he's not a DC type. This is a specific group. But there's something about him that obviously Tom Herman likes. There's something scheme-wise that he gets into and he thinks it'll fit.
Or maybe it's someone that Todd Orlando likes.
True. Yeah, right. Or it's Orlando.
Maybe one of those. You look at, hey, Todd, is there anyone? Yeah, I like that guy.
Mm-hmm. And he's had some names go through and head to the NFL. And obviously, that's another cool thing, too. If you're a Texas fan, if it all works out, you just got a defensive analyst whose focus is defensive backs and your DBU. And it kind of goes along with your rep,
got
right?
Some new corners.
And by the way, your DB room isn't bad right now.
I'm about
now.
To say, that especially, well, think about it, it's also such a versatile spot for them.
Uh-huh.
That we've talked about, what do you do with Overshown? How do you play these hybrid packages? Do you have Stearns and move them around? BJ can probably do a lot of different things. Well, have a mind to maybe throw some ideas out there.
Yeah, because if you don't have that position in the Big 12, you're sunk.
You're screwed.
It is over.
You
so
are screwed.
Paul Williams going to help out there. And hey, coming from, with certainly his time at Houston was in a situation, too, where they were facing a lot of teams that threw the ball around.
A lot of techs coming in. Kerwin should have left to the NBA. Not a good senior year from him.
Ooh.
No, Kerwin can't play in the NBA. He's not an NBA player, and if he is, then it's worse than I thought. I'm really excited. I know what you're saying, and I agree if he could have, but was he going to go to the NBA?
No. I don't think so.
And then maybe one of the reasons is because of this. I'm really excited to see this basketball team without Snoop. His shot selection has been such a momentum killer in games this year.
Somebody got to step up then.
Someone's got to step up.
Well, and you said the name. I mentioned Osakowski from a leadership standpoint. Matt Coleman. Matt Coleman will determine what happens on Saturday. Shot selection, decisions to cut, decisions to slash, decisions to get in that lane, the passing. It all comes from him. Whatever kind of game he has, it'll determine everything else. So that's the guy that he's already a leader on this team. It's already a big deal since he's your point guard, obviously. But, yeah, he's got to be the guy.
He's got to be the guy. Someone said, how come Shaka doesn't hire former head coaches as assistants?
Can you do that in hoops?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure you can have an analyst.
Yeah, they don't let you stack analysts in basketball.
I think we've been asking for years here to get an offensive coordinator for that role.
Ironically, they do let you give jobs to family members. That is a weird NCAA violation rule.
What do you mean?
In football, you're not allowed to do that. In basketball, you are.
Oh, the nepotism thing's taken off?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Like, they totally allow it. You can get someone's family member a job with basketball, but you can't do it with football.
At least, I guess they're being more overt about it, right?
Yeah, I guess. I've never quite understood that distinction, but yeah, apparently it's there.
And we'll finish off the text with this. Nothing can top TCU's court right now. It looks like a hockey arena. It's almost as bad as the Oregon Spludge, or probably Splurge Mark.
The TCU one's really way too light. It looks like weird, like sand, broken glass or something. It's hard to look at.
Oh, he typed something else. Never mind.
And the, yeah.
Splooge.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah, that's, man, yeah, the Minnesota court is kind of weird to look at. So God love places like Duke and Cameron Indoor for still looking like a basketball court.
And that's what we had, and that's the one thing, like Devin talked about it, like the, and I said yesterday, I said, hey, it's going to look different, but man, I'm jacked about this game because of the environment and because of Zion and a couple other guys. But really, the environment, that doesn't change, and man, just air out.
The air did come out of it. Now, the one thing we did still get, if you kept the game on, I know this happens other places, but I do love the fact that these kids camp out all the time to get the tickets. They paint themselves in blue glitter, and then when the other team is inbounding the ball, they scream their heads off, and they're doing the weird jazz.
They've been doing that forever.
Yeah, they're doing the jazz hands and stuff, and I watched that, and I thought, you guys are still doing that, aren't you? You're just still with that same level of energy. The building's packed, 9,300, just tightly packed in there, and they're still going crazy.
Yeah, and Duke gave them some runs there to keep it close.
They did.
For a little while.
Yeah, they tried. They just couldn't. They just had two guys. Look at that box score. You got Barrett and Reddish. I believe the next highest scoring Duke player had six.
No, that was it.
6 points?
Let me see here. I had it up here.
So you really do just have three guys. I mean, the stats have been crazy all year, but they've been winning. So you go, these three guys counted for 85 of their points.
Yeah, and Bolden didn't give him anything. Jones gives him 3 points, was 1 of 11 from the field.
Yeah, he was awful.
And I was more looking at him for his defense, because he hasn't had to score when I've watched them, at least.
But am I right? 6 points was the high for everybody else?
No, you're right. That's what I'm saying. So you had 33, 27. Zion obviously has none. Bolden has none. Jones has three. And then he goes on the bench 6-2-0-1.
Ugh. Yeah, that's tough, man. That is really, really tough.
Which is how Carolina can shoot 10% from beyond the arc and hoist 20 of them.
And beat you easily.
By 16.
Yeah, beat you comfortably to where I'm fast-forwarding to the end of that game because there was nothing to watch. That's crazy.
There was. I'm telling you, Louis Miller was on Cooking Channel. And it was good. So you would have learned how to prep a grill.
You should have texted me because I might have turned to Louis Miller at that point. I needed a Louis Miller to watch at that point. All right, big three.
By the way, when I was watching the Texas-Michigan 94 second round game.
Oh, yeah?
I love watching the commercials that they have them on during because it really takes you back. And one of the commercials was a promo for Dave. Coming up on Dave on Monday, Bill Cosby, the funny one, the good guy.
Oh, man, that is funny. Speaking of, I just thought of an SNL skit. I'll tell you during the break, see if you saw that one, because that was pretty funny. All right, big three coming up, including Kerwin Roach, going to miss the game this weekend. We will tell you why, plus a couple of football notes for you, including a guy who's shocked, who shouldn't be. This is The Horn. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a Oh, Chad and Kevin with you on a Thursday. We hadn't mentioned this all day, so I'm glad Devin played the monkeys. One of the monkeys died today or last night?
I thought this is the Beatles.
This is the monkeys. This is the monkeys. And between those two bands, we're down to four. Down to four guys. So if they want to go on tour, they could do it as a foursome. But as a four-piece, Peter
Tork. Put those two bands together like I did at seven?
That'd be a weird fan base that would show up to see those four. Paul, Ringo, Mickey Dolenz, and Michael Nesmith touring the country.
Are any of the monkeys talented? Because I like that song.
the monkeys are kind of a weird mix because the first guy that died, Davy Jones, was extremely handsome, could sing, but wasn't like super musically talented. This guy, Peter Tork, I think is the most musical of the group. Then there's one guy still alive that is musical, not super musical, but he's musical, songwriter and a little bit guitar and stuff.
You're
and
then not, the, thankfully, you're not doing the eulogy.
And then the other guy, Mickey Dolenz, is, I believe, he was brought in as more of the actor, funny, comedic kind of part of it. And I think he picked up some stuff over the years playing drums and things, but he wasn't really like a big-time musician.
So it's the opposite of the Beatles, where the best one of the monkeys is kind of musically talented, and the worst one for the Beatles, you tell me, even though I used to mock him, is still pretty damn talented.
Yes, correct.
And that would be Ringo.
Correct. Ringo's more talented than either living monkey. I'm going to go out on a limb on
that. What about
me,
the dead monkeys?
All of them. All four. I'm on a limb. Ringo is more talented than all four monkeys. Not combined, but all four.
So what mashup band names do you have here? Monkey and Beatles, like the Meatles?
You go with the Meatles, you could. The Bunkies.
I think the Bunkies would be great.
The Bunkies is probably
the Bonkies.
They're probably the way to go.
Want to go Kellner.
Peter Tork, I think, was 77, so rest in peace to him.
Why doesn't Brad, we're going to ask him tomorrow, we need to think of names tonight that Brad should, if he's going to really play this rule, go with. That should be Monkeys, right?
The Monk. Oh, I see. Like, you mean if he's
even
gonna,
though Monk is spelled with an O, if we're going to go with this, go with this.
You're going to find words Brad Kellner should be mispronouncing that he's not?
Yes.
You're just feeding the beast.
That's what I plan to do tomorrow.
That's sick.
That's why I'm going to stop by the schniz.
That's totally sick.
I'm going to bring you guys a feast tomorrow.
Oh, now you're talking.
Did you have one of those churros? Those churros are in the break room.
I did not have one yet.
There's tons of them. Just heat one up.
I did not have one.
Take a bag home.
I may do that. I do like a churro. I didn't know McDonald's was getting into churros.
I like churros too. McDonald's?
I'm skeptical.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Report back, because we can't take Brad's opinion on that.
I like the Taco Bell churros. They are good. And if you are going to get some Taco Bell, cheesy gordita crunch, one of my favorites.
God, you talk about that. You love that
thing.
Ooh,
it's a good item.
Yeah, at some point, I'm gonna go get one of those Dorito tacos.
Oh.
Can I go Dorito double decker?
Mmm. Now you're just talking sense.
They make a chalupa with the Dorito taco inside.
Ooh.
Boy, that sounds like a good idea,
here.
Too.
just going to leave that here.
The Doritos Locos Taco is one of the great inventions, really, in food history, especially when you make the shell nacho cheese.
I can see it. They have shell nacho cheese.
Well, that's the whole point of it. The shell of the taco is Doritos.
Well, no, I know that, but you said something about the nacho cheeses.
So I'm saying the first flavor they made was nacho cheese. Then they tried the Cool Ranch.
Okay. Oh, you're saying that's the flavor.
That's the shell,
I was getting it.
They've done the fire one if you're into the fire Doritos.
I'd go Cool Ranch.
You'd go Cool Ranch. I think they make that available all the time. And then it's those three, fire, nacho cheese, and Cool Ranch, available year-round. They made it a permanent item.
Good for them.
Because they're smart. They realized how good an idea it was.
So McDonald's has gone breakfast full-time, finally.
Oh, yeah. They know where they're going. They know what they're doing. They know breakfast is one of their big items.
Full-time is in, like, they're open all day long for breakfast now?
I thought so.
I don't think it's every single McDonald's. Some of them do.
I only take it on road trips, but I hit it.
Or maybe it's a select menu that's 24 hours a day. I don't know if it's or not 24, but, like, the whole time they're open. I think they do a certain number of breakfast items. I don't know if they do the whole thing.
I was on the way down to
Padre. But it's a great idea.
Down to Padre, and we're in, I forgot what time, and it was small. Stop by, and was like, yeah, you know, I'll get the egg whites if you have that. Like, okay, egg whites. Brought it out and wasn't egg whites.
Oh.
Like, they're probably just saying, yeah, it's egg whites.
Egg whites. They're in
there.
They're
not going to know.
Part of it's egg whites.
Part of it was egg whites. They're right about that.
The new item that I've kind of fallen in love with at McDonald's, bacon, egg, and cheese, bagel on the breakfast side. Like the biscuit. Love the McGriddle. But the bacon, egg, and cheese bagel, not bad. Not a bad item.
Bagel's good?
Bagel's pretty good. Bagel's pretty good. I'm not a bagel snob myself. So.
I have my bagel place.
Do you?
Nervous Charlie's. Give them a shout out. And it's named after their dog.
That is awesome.
Charlie's a nervous dog.
Fantastic name.
It is, but big time bagels.
Okay.
The real best I've had in Austin.
What's your bagel go-to? Are you a basic guy? Are you just bagels cream cheese?
I can do basic. I like to do everything with usually plain cream cheese and lox.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You do the lox.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fish. Is that correct?
Yes, salmon.
Salmon, okay. Raw salmon?
Raw.
Oh, Christ.
Well, actually, I think it's cured and then cut really thinly.
Okay. Would it offend you if I told you that I like bagels sometimes with like peanut butter or jelly?
No.
Okay.
No. Nothing you say food-wise offends me anymore. No.
But we're a long way past that,
but it also
doesn't
offend me because I'll do stuff like that too. If it makes sense and you like it, put it together. It's what we're talking about making barbecue sauce the other day.
Yeah. Ooh, by the way, tried that today. It's not bad.
Tried what?
The rice cake, the Jeff Daniels little snack from the other night. Rice cake, peanut butter, barbecue sauce. It was not bad.
You didn't go out to buy any of those items, did you?
No, they're all in my house.
Okay.
Of course.
What are rice cakes doing in there?
I had them ready to go. Oh, I'm eating the rice cakes, trying to watch things, trying to watch weights, not eat as much bread.
Okay.
Trying to, you know, eat a rice cake every now and again.
You said it was good?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. He's right. That barbecue sauce adds a little sparkle. The man's smart.
I may have to give it a shot.
It's not bad. Not bad.
Devin, you'd be down for that, wouldn't you?
It's like an old man healthy snack is what that is.
I don't know about the barbecue sauce on top of that.
I'm telling you, it is surprisingly good. All right, we'll hope the same for the Big Three. Here we go.
The Big Three. The Big Three is brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All righty. We've talked about Carolina beating Duke last night. Zion Williamson, day-to-day, grade one sprain of the knee. Also, the big story around here is Kerwin Roach. He's been suspended for a violation of team rules. He will miss Saturday's game at Oklahoma. And on the NFL side, a story that just made me giggle. Case Keenum is reportedly shocked by the Joe Flacco move by the Denver Broncos. They went 6-10. They fired the coach, and he's shocked that they've made a move to maybe get another quarterback in there.
You think he's really shocked?
I don't know.
Didn't that feel like a stopgap anyway? Which is what Flacco is?
If he let the word shocked get out there and didn't defend it, that's bad. If he really said he was shocked and somebody then leaked out that he's shocked, that's bad. This is not good either way.
Mm-hmm.
Shocked, Case.
No, you're shocked. You're not shocked.
That's not the right word. That is not the right word at all. You want to say concerned? Say concerned. But I don't think anything beyond that. All right, there's your big three.
Did have a text here from female listener.
Yes.
Female listener one. We appreciate it.
Number one.
And that is her name in there.
Have we met female listener number one?
I don't know if I've met her. We maybe have, but she probably comes up and says, hey, I'm Janet. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, she needs to introduce herself as female listener number one.
That's what we need. Yeah. But she said, Chad, that kind of sounds like a pregnant lady snack, not an old man snack.
Ooh, it is kind of a pregnant lady snack.
It does have some preggers in there.
You're right. Hey, you know what? Pretty good.
Now, I've seen some crazy combos with that. Pickles.
It was pretty tasty.
Pickles going with things. It's like, ooh.
The only thing my wife had was she literally, it was fascinating to watch because she started craving a particular, like, cheeseburger she never had had before.
Hmm.
She'd like, thought about it. She'd eaten at the place, but had never had it. And she's like, this sounds good.
What was it?
It was like a cheeseburger at Wendy's, I want to say, like a little junior cheeseburger. And something about it smelled, I had one and it smelled good to her, and she just started eating it. Just started killing those things. And then afterwards, gone.
Nothing.
I hadn't had one since.
Wow.
You literally do get different cravings for stuff you don't even like sometimes.
That's nuts.
It's so strange.
But then it goes away, so
yeah.
You're not.
Right. Now, my mom, I remember, said she did acquire something during a pregnancy that she liked and kept eating, but in this case, she just stopped afterwards.
One of the craziest ones I read about was this woman wanted, like I said, pickles and ice cream.
Ooh, yeah. I've heard the pickles thing. Together?
Yes, together.
Oh, that's gross.
No, I've heard some stuff together that's just
gross.
Like, oh.
That's gross. Completely gross.
There is something going on in your body.
By the way, if you're an NBA fan and you want to get back into that tonight, they're back at it. Boston at Milwaukee. Nice matchup there. 7 o'clock on TNT. Then Houston at the Lakers. 9:30 on TNT. LeBron says that the playoff switch has been flipped
Flip it.
Something. He's going to try to get him into the playoffs.
Devin's not buying that.
I think is what he's talking about. I'm not even sure.
We don't have the James Harden shirt. Did you finally wash it?
I planned on putting it on later on tonight when I go watch the game at home.
Yeah, he'll be ready. He'll be ready. 9:30 tip on that one. That's TNT. All right, let's get you one and done. We got a sponsor.
This segment brought to you by Texas Carnhouse, where every Thursday night is ladies' night. Ladies get 50% off club access fees from 11 a.m. Thursday all the way till closing time at 4 a.m. on Friday morning. Texas Carnhouse, Austin's premier poker club, texascarnhouse.com.
And here's Kevin Dunn.
One of the things we talked about earlier that's been kind of frustrating, certainly with college basketball, is you wonder how much control these coaches really have, and there's entitlement issues, and there's a lot of things that make it tough to be a coach. But this Kerwin Roach news is disappointing, and maybe not completely surprising or completely shocking, Chad, to touch on our last story, but it is disappointing, and it is for me kind of a microcosm of what's gone on all year. It's been up, it's been down. You've got this whole week off. We've been talking to people and saying this would be a good week to reset, recharge. You had to get a win against Oklahoma State. You did that. Now you've got a winnable game in Norman. Let's really make that stretch, and let's make this stretch run count. And it's just disappointing. We've got a lot of text on it. I don't know what else to say about it. I'm kind of finding out a little things that have gone on, but all we need to know is he broke team rules, and it does make you wonder exactly how tight this team may be together, or really how focused they are on what the task at hand should be. And the task at hand, whenever you're an athlete, should not be how do I make myself better and how do I get myself to that level. It should be about winning, playing the sport, and being a good teammate. And I don't feel like we've gotten that from Snoop this year.
We talked to multiple people on the show that cover Texas basketball, and we've been asking questions about trust all season long. Do you trust them to win? Do you trust them to go on the road and win? And then to a person, nobody is really ready to just go all the way in and say, you trust this basketball team.
Why would they?
Right, because they're watching it. And this is one of those examples of, yeah, this is one of the reasons why you can't absolutely trust this team in 18-19.
And trust can be good and bad too, right?
Yeah.
If a court comes up and it's crazy, I can trust Chad is going to just wreck the show with it for 10 minutes.
I will comment. Somebody tried to get on
I'm messing with you.
No, somebody tried to get on us on Twitter today to say, I didn't hear Kevin mention that North Carolina scored 60 in the paint. No, because that's my job. I said that they scored 62 in the paint. So how dare you?
I'm not the paint guy.
It's me. It's Chad that's obsessed with points in the paint.
Get your paint guys right.
Kevin's eyes roll like a marble down a hill every time I mention points in the paint.
No, I do like it. I do like your points in the paint thing, but yeah, that's definitely your gig. But on this team, you can't trust them either way.
No.
So someone said, "Hey Kevin, can you trust me?" Are they not going to get to this point? I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go. I think they could get to the Sweet 16. I wouldn't trust them to do it. Oof. But I'm not sure that I would bet tons of money on it against it. It's just an up-and-down team. They've been all over the place, and who knows?
Yeah. At this, with a story like this, it kind of brings me back down to, I don't know if I can trust them to win a tournament game. You know, the way as up and down as they've been. But we'll see. We'll see how they react. 11 a.m. start in Norman. We'll see how they get up on Saturday morning, literally and figuratively. Coming up next, get you one last thing, and then more basketball talk. Longhorn Weekly with Shaka Smart coming up at 7. Their guest this week is Dylan Ositkowski. That is coming up on The Horn. Chad and Kevin with you on a Thursday.
Psychic spies from China.
You know Anthony?
Yep, I do. Boy, he is committed to that mustache, isn't he? I thought that was going to be like a two-week thing for him. Now every time I see him, he's wearing that weird, uncomfortable mustache.
Where are you seeing? Is it Anthony Kiedis?
Anthony Kiedis.
Where are you seeing? I haven't seen him in ages.
No, but they'll perform on an award show.
Yeah.
They'll show up on a... You know, on some talk show or whatever and play on that. And Flea still looks like Flea, but Kiedis is committed to, like, he looks like he needs to be a villain in a Western or something. he is locked into that thing. That's a great little groove, though. What's that song called?
Californication.
That is Californication.
Yeah, gotcha. And that was maybe their second one, at least from when I started to really get to know them, second album, but I still liked it a lot.
Yeah, that album came out in 2000, so they've got quite a few before there. But, yeah, it's one of their best. It's considered one of their best albums, the Californication album.
That was after the big Blood Sugar Sex Magik was like the massive one for them, and then it was in one or two albums after that was, I think, Californication.
All right, we got to hit one last thing here. I want you to hit that, and then Devin's got a trivia question for you.
All right, here we go.
One last thing.
Hitman. All right, what do we got?
Devin, you want to hit him?
You got one?
With the one you gave me, I won't answer, but I thought it was a pretty good one, the NBA merger.
Trivia question, what?
Since the ABA-NBA expansion in 1979, how many number one picks currently reside in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame?
Wow. Since the merger, how many overall?
I'm 40, so we're talking about 39.
Uh-huh. How many number one picks are in the Naismith Hall of Fame? 21.
Way less. Seven.
I was one off.
Seven?
I guess
seven.
Eight.
Wow, I was being way too optimistic. Seven. Okay. I like that.
You go through it and look at that's it, really good. And yeah, I mean, it does show you that.
Why? Do you have a bigger case for Purvis Ellison to be in the Hall of Fame?
I do.
He's a Derek Coleman guy, okay?
I've been a Purvis Ellison guy my whole life. How dare you?
Did Greg Oden play enough to get in?
That is good.
No, not even for...
No. How dare you? By the way, today the Machado deal became official, and how about this stat? He has 84 defensive runs saved at third base, is where we always talk about he ought to be a third baseman. That's second in baseball since 2012. First place is Arenado.
He's one of the best, and Arenado is too. He's one of the best defensive third basemen I've ever seen. And he's just not the same guy at shortstop. I think that makes sense, though. Let him play a short, get it out of his system, and then when Tatis comes up, move him to third, and now we're ducking. Now we're chucking Joaquin with a left side.
And now you're ready to go. Longhorn Weekly with Shaka Smart coming up. They'll talk with Dylan Osikowski. We'll be back for a Friday show tomorrow, getting you ready for the first home baseball series of the season. See ya!
Nah, get chuckin' Joaquin.